I want to speak to you this morning about the subject of generosity and compassion in your heart. I want to invite you to the book of Romans. We're in a series in the book of Romans, and there's so many different topics and things and parts of Romans that we find there. And so this morning, I want to invite you to chapter 15 to begin with. And in chapter 15, we find that Paul is describing kind of the end of his travels. He's describing a time when he has been traveling all across Asia, in preaching the gospel, Asia Minor as it's called, and he's been preaching and he's gone hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of miles, and he has kind of one final place that he wants to go to. It's in his heart, and he tells him several times, I want to go to Rome. He had never been to Rome. He knows that Rome is the capital. Rome is the center of the Roman Empire and the culture and the religion, and he wants to preach the gospel in Rome. And so he tells them over and over again, someday I'm coming to Rome. In fact, I hope to get there soon. I want to get there next. But in Romans chapter 15, as he tells them that he's coming to them and he wants to come to Rome, we find out that there's one thing that he wants to do before he takes that final trip. He knows that going to Rome will be the end. It will be his last trip. And he says, before I go to Rome, before I do the last thing, there is something undone or something that's not been done yet that I want to do. And in Romans chapter 15, he tells us what it is. He needs to go back to Jerusalem before he goes to Rome. And that was about 800 miles from where he was at when he wrote these words. But he wants to go back to Jerusalem before he goes to Rome. And chapter 15, verse 25, tells us why it is that he wanted to go back to Jerusalem. If you have your Bible, Romans chapter 15, stand with me. I'm going to read beginning at verse 25. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. There had been a famine in Judah during the time that Paul had been on his missionary travels. Three different times Paul made a journey or a trip. And during those 12 years or so that made up those trips and then coming back home for a while and going out again, about 12 years or so, things had changed in Judea. There had been a famine in Judea, a drought in Judea that had brought about a famine, as well as the political unrest and things that were going on in Judea had brought hard times to the whole province of Judea and Jerusalem in that area. And so while Paul had been gone away, things had changed a lot. Poverty had come to Judea in a way unlike it had been before. There were a lot of people that were hungry. There were a lot of people that were really fighting for survival. And Paul knew that even as he traveled around Asia Minor in his missionary work. When he told the people where he was at in the early church in Asia and all these cities that we read about in the Scripture, Thessalonians, for example, and Ephesus, and Galatia and Corinth, everywhere he went, he told them about the hard times that was taking place in Jerusalem. And the Bible says in the book of Acts and in the book of Corinthians that when the early church heard about how difficult it was back in Jerusalem and Judea, that they all wanted to give something to send back to help the people that were back in Judea. And so several places that Paul went, and we're told here especially, two provinces, Macedonia and Achaia, when they heard of the poor in Jerusalem, they received an offering and asked Paul to take it back to Jerusalem. Well, that's kind of the background of this story. These people who were becoming Christians and the early church was forming had within them a compassion and a care for the people back in Jerusalem. And so Paul knows that he's been given this money and it has to be hand-delivered to Jerusalem. He certainly couldn't wire 2,000 years ago. There is no way to quickly get the money back except for someone to travel with it. And so Paul says, I know that I want to go to Rome. I know that I want to preach there. That's where God's telling me that I need to go. But before I do that, I'm going to go back to Jerusalem and I'm going to deliver this gift to the poor that is there. They were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. All throughout the Bible, we have examples and pictures and stories of people who give very unselfishly to help others. And this morning, I want us to think about and talk about the privilege of giving. The privilege that God gives us is one of the greatest blessings that God gives to His people. I truly believe that to give is one of the greatest blessings that we can have in this world. I believe that when we have hearts that love and care and look at people the way that Christ wants us to, the way that God calls us to, we will have a heart of love and compassion for people, and it will be a blessing in our lives beyond so many other things that we can accumulate in this life. Generosity is both an important gift that God gives us and an important responsibility. The Bible has many, many places that tell us how important generosity is for other people and for us. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Coming from the mouth of Jesus were many things that He said about giving and about compassion and about how we see our possessions. In fact, if you put together on a piece of paper the references, the times that Jesus talked about possessions, talked about how we see what we have in this life, Jesus said more about our possessions than any other topic. When you look at His parables and you hear what He said to His disciples, and every time He addressed a question or an issue about money, about accumulation of wealth, about poor people, you put those all together, you find that Jesus said more about giving and about how we view our possessions than any other topic. He talked a lot about generosity. It wasn't new to Jesus. In fact, if you really study what the Bible says about generosity, you will see that all through the Bible, there are many places and many things that are said about the importance of our generosity. Again, generosity and giving is a key to victorious living. It is a key to fulfillment. I believe that having a giving heart toward people, whether you're talking about money or you're talking about time or you're talking about words, having a giving heart is one of the most important things that you can have in your relationship to God and to other people. And Jesus talked a lot about that. He talked about what fulfillment was. And when you have a heart that's giving, and you have a heart that sees other people as God does, how freeing it is and how blessing it is in your heart. So Jesus said a great deal about possessions, how we see our possessions of this life. And all throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the end, are stories and proverbs and examples and principles about being kind and compassionate and giving and generous toward other people. I believe that one of the cornerstones of the law of Moses, when you look at the themes throughout, if you just read the Old Testament law, that can be quite a reading if you do it all at one time. If you read that, one of the things that you will see all throughout the law of Moses is the call to generosity. I would say it's one of the primary things that you see in the law of Moses. Most people think of the law of Moses as being thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And there is a lot of that in there. But even in many of the thou shalt not, behind that is the call to generosity. And for God's people to understand a character of caring and loving and reaching out and ministering to other people. Certainly one of the cornerstones of the law of Moses was the heart of helping people, of being compassionate to other people. Leviticus chapter 25, and there are dozens of references, but Leviticus chapter 25 comes to my mind. It says, if one of your countrymen become poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him. I mean, we have that statement basically over and over again in the law of Moses. if there's anybody poor among you, and it says here, and if they are unable to support themselves, help them. And there's many references to how to do that. In the culture, in the day of the Old Testament, in an agrarian society, most people were farmers or small artisans. There were many examples of how people were to help those around them. Deuteronomy chapter 15 says, if there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your brother. The Bible uses that term many times, hard-hearted in some places, referring to spiritual things. It also is listed in referring to financial things. And then the word tight-fisted, that's also found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The concept of the tight-fistedness, that spirit, that attitude that just kind of wants to hold on to what we have. Somehow, that isn't what God wants. It's not what blesses us. It's not what makes us free. It's not what gives us joy to have that spirit, that attitude that it's mine and I'm going to accumulate it and I want it for me and I want it for my future. It really is not what blesses our souls and our spirits and our minds. And the law of Moses knew that, and it talks about being tight-fisted. A tight-fisted man will have no joy. A tight-fisted man will not reap the blessings that God has. Truly, God calls us to be loving and compassionate. God calls us to hold on to our possessions loosely. Understand that we're stewards of those possessions. God gives them to us for a while, and we're going to leave them behind. But for a while, God gives things to us and allows things in our lives, sometimes because of our hard work and sometimes other factors, but God allows them for a time. And they really are a gift. And Jesus describes us as being stewards of what God gives us. He loans them to us and says, okay, you use them wisely. And Jesus talks about the example of those that do and those that don't. Their treasure, their time, their talent. In the Old Testament, there were real many examples of the tight-fisted people, but there also were beautiful pictures of those that were not tight-fisted, and they gave everything. They gave from their hearts, and they were blessed. Some of the laws of the Old Testament that you might or might not be familiar with is the farmers, for example, when they harvested their crops, they were to leave the corners unharvested of the wheat or whatever they had, and the olive trees, they weren't to take all the olives, and they were to leave parts and patches and sections so that anyone who was hungry could come by and they could harvest and have food to eat. That's how they put it into practice in a farming community and society. Special offerings were received at the temple and in the synagogues in the Old Testament times in order for people to have their needs met. And then the poor were able to come and they were to receive what they needed. And then in the New Testament, Jesus spoke about helping the poor, the hurting. Jesus over and over again talked about how we see people that have needs. Do we see them with compassion or do we look down on them? Compassion was found in everything that Jesus did. When you think of, well, how do you describe Jesus? Certainly one category for me would be compassion. He had compassion for people. He had compassion for people that had messed up and had repented. He had compassion for the poor. He had compassion for the hurting. He had compassion for the demon-possessed. He had compassion for the sick. He had compassion for the troubled. Jesus loved people, and he loved them no matter who they were. And he had such love and kindness and patience, and he reminds us how important it is for God's people to have that kind of a heart. Jesus gave us many solid principles to live by with our giving and how we see. I want to name four principles that Jesus talked about giving, and the Bible affirms for us. One of those, the first one that comes to my mind and my heart, is the principle of the least of these. Jesus talked about how important it is that we see people like God does. That sometimes we have a tendency to see people through eyes of judgment, through eyes of looking down on them or having an attitude that they've messed themselves up or it's all their fault anyway. And so we don't need to be patient. We don't need to really love them and reach out to them. But Jesus talked about the least of these. In Matthew chapter 25, he talks about how he sees people. If you have your Bible, turn with me there to Matthew chapter 25. And I want to read verses 31 through 40. as we read about what Jesus said. He said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory." I mean, here Jesus is talking about final judgment. It must have been important to the heart of Jesus because He's being asked about, well, what's it going to be like at the judgment and how does He respond? He says, well, this is how I will judge. It says, "Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you are blessed by My Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You, or thirsty and give You something to drink? When did we see You a stranger and invite You in, or needing clothes and clothe You? When did we see You sick or in prison and go to visit You?'" And listen to the words of Jesus. He said, "The King will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these My brothers, you did for Me.'" You know, it's what we do for people that aren't as lovable and it's not as easy to care about. It's not as easy to be patient with. The least of these. I don't know who the least of these are in your life. I don't know who would be in your category of the least of these. We all have categories. I'm sure we have categories for the most of these. You know, people that are lovable and we even like them. And, you know, we'd do anything for them. Man, we'd give them the shirt off our back and they wouldn't even need to ask. We're reaching out to them, the most of these. But Jesus is talking about a different category. He's talking about those that are the least of these. And Jesus said, even if you've done this to the least of these, then you've done it unto Me. One principle of generosity that God gives us from the heart of God and from the words of Jesus and the action of Jesus is how important it is to see people like Jesus did and to love them. Another principle of our giving is understanding that God does amazing things when we give with a generous spirit. That's a promise from the Scripture that God does amazing things when we give from our hearts, when we give from our spirits. God can multiply. God can change lives. God can change people. Amazing miracles can happen and take place when people give passionately and give with compassion and give with hearts that are right with God. I love that hymn, that song. It's been around a long time. "Little is much when God is in it." It's kind of a little quippy song, but it is really full of truth. Little is much when God is in it. When your heart's right, God will do an amazing thing when you respond the way that God wants you to. I mean, God will bless people. God will bless the recipient. God will bless you. Who knows what God will do when we have hearts that are giving? And again, the Bible gives us many examples of that. People who gave what they had, and God touched him in a mighty way. There was a boy with a few fish and loaves of bread, and God used it and multiplied it. And in many other ways in the Old Testament, there are stories of generosity and how God met needs because someone was willing to give what they had. The truth is, it doesn't matter how many coins are in the offering you give. It matters about your heart. God chooses to use ordinary people following His call to compassion, to touch lives and to touch hearts. The third principle of giving and compassion this morning that I want to mention is the heart issue of giving. Far more than the contents of your wallet, far more than the contents of your purse, far more than the contents of what you drop in the offering plate is the quality of your heart before God. Giving isn't a substitute for having a heart that loves God and loves people. You can give away everything that you have and still miss it completely. Miss the blessing, miss the call of God. You can give all that you have and you can miss it all if your heart's not right with Him. First of all, God wants your heart. He wants you to have a heart that is responsive to Him. If God has your heart, then your compassion will be just right. If God has your spirit of humility and teachability inside of you, then your efforts will produce fruit. Whatever it is, whether it's with your money or your time or your words or the ways that you encourage people and you love people that are hurting, God will give you vision to see people that are hurting and God will help you to have a compassionate heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says this, "If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, not according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. You know, the truth is, when your heart is right, God will show you what to do, and God will give you opportunity, and God will bless you and reward you, whether it's a few cents or a few thousand dollars or whatever it is, if your heart is right. There's no substitute to having a heart that's right with God about everything that you have. And then in the next chapter in 2 Corinthians, it says, each man should give what he has decided to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Sometimes it's hard for pastors not to compulse people. That's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying. You know, encourage people. We need to support this and we need to do that. And I know I do that, and I want to find the right mix and the right balance. You know, we're going to raise money for wells in India, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I just want to say to you as a pastor, I don't ever want to come across as being compulsive to you or come across saying you have to do this to be right with God. That's not it at all. The truth is, God calls us to be generous. There's all kinds of opportunities out there. I mean, Jesus said you will always have the poor among you. The truth is, there's always more needs than we can possibly meet. But God gives every one of us certain opportunities and certain ways that we can use what He gives us. See, God entrusts us with so much, and He gives us those opportunities to meet needs. God will help you to know what to do. God will help you to know what's right. God will give you opportunities, and God will bless you when you use what you have to be used of God. First, God wants your heart. God wants your heart. One day with Jesus, Jesus was at the temple, and in Luke chapter 21, there's a story of what Jesus observed. You know, Jesus loved to look at people. There's several stories in the New Testament where it says Jesus saw. Jesus was looking, and there is one day it says that Jesus was at the temple, and it says in chapter 21, Jesus looked up. And He looked up, it says. Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, He said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on. Certainly there's examples in the Bible about people that give sacrificially. It's one thing to give out of the surplus, and that's probably what we may tend to do a lot of times. We give out of what's left, what's extra. But the widow gave out of what she had, and Jesus saw her, and God blessed her. God will bless those who are generous because God sees the heart. He already knows what our needs are. He knows what we have. He sees generosity. God sees generosity all the way down to God sees tight-fistedness. We have two terms, generosity, and we have tight-fistedness. God sees both, and He wants your heart and your giving. It's been a year ago now. I can't believe it's been a year ago that I went to Israel. Almost a year, just a couple weeks short of it, and had a great time. But of all the things that I experienced in Israel, two bodies of water were so interesting to me. One was the Sea of Galilee and one was the Dead Sea. And so I was there and took a lot of pictures. And I read a quote about the Dead Sea that seems so true about generosity. The Dead Sea is dead because it only receives and never gives. You know, the water comes down the Jordan Valley, what little water there is, and it's drying up. But, you know, the Jordan River used to be real big. Now it's the Jordan Creek, you know, but it flows down and the water comes into the Dead Sea, and then it never goes out of the Dead Sea except it evaporates. There's no outlets, there's no rivers. It only comes into the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is different. It's full of life, full of fish and birds. It's beautiful, it's interesting, it's a neat place to be, just knowing what happened there. But you know, it's full of life, and the water flows in from the north, from the mountains, and then it flows down from there, down south from there, and it's full of life. And that's the way I think about generosity. People that are not generous are like the Dead Sea. It's like they've been given and they receive, but if they don't give, then they become dry and they become brittle, and they're full of minerals that don't taste very good, and it's just not good. And that's the way it is with generosity. When you give, God blesses you so much. The fourth principle that I want to mention this morning is about blessing. Cast your bread upon the waters. We read in the Scriptures, for after many days it will come back to you. Again, from the Old Testament and the New Testament, if you give out, it will come back. Don't know exactly how, don't know exactly when, don't know exactly to what amount. It's not like God promises you, well, if you give 20, He'll send you 30. It's not like that at all. It's if you give what you have and you give your heart, God will bless you spiritually. Sometimes it's material, and generally generous people also do much better with their finances because they're probably a little more disciplined and they follow God's principles about giving. But the truth is, if you have a generous and a loving and a kind heart, God will bless you. So many scriptures that tell us that. Proverbs chapter 22 says, a generous man will help, will he himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. A generous man will be blessed. Another, and a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others himself will be refreshed. And that's true also. When you give to others, boy, God just uses that to fill your spirit and your soul with His love and His touch. Having a giving heart brings joy and contentment and fulfillment to life. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I just have the picture there of a bushel basket and just the flowing in of the abundance and the blessings of God. And the more you pour it out and you give it away, the more God fills your heart and your life. We are always more blessed to give than to receive. We're always blessed when we give from the heart to help others. Whether it's our money or it's our kind words or it's taking time to stop and be with people that need to hear a caring voice, it is better to give than to receive. In Romans 15, Paul was journeying back to Jerusalem with this offering for the poor. It is a pretty good example in the early church of people who were kind and compassionate and loving. And Paul was grateful for that. In the book of Acts, he talks about it. In the book of Romans, in the book of 1 Corinthians, he mentions this particular gift. And he says how blessed these people are because they had hearts to give and care about. I also want to say thank you to our church for your giving. I don't know that I say that real often, but I want to say today in the context of this sermon how grateful I am for your faithful giving. This church has been such a giving church for a long, long time. I've heard story after story about people from long ago who have been blessed by those in the church and sometimes the church as a group who have done things to help them. And I've heard stories of people financially being helped and in other ways as well, the support and love and giving of the church. And I want to say how thankful I am to be a part of a church like this with a history of the giving and the kindness that you've done. I want to say thank you for all the giving that you've done in projects that I've asked you to give for. For example, India. I know you've kind of taken on India kind of as part of my life, and I'm grateful for that and so many others. Dozens and dozens of missionaries in countries around the world and Philadelphia and people in this community. We really have so much in this church. God's given us so much, and I'm thankful for the faithfulness of the people to whom God has given much. Much will be expected, and I'm thankful for the giving of the church. In many ways, the compassion and generosity of this church has touched many people, both inside and outside of the church. I'm sure there are people probably here in this service this morning who could remember back or think to a time when it was the faithfulness of God's people in this church that helped them along, made a difference in their lives. And many people in our church family and outside of our church family who have been touched and been blessed, both in Mifflinburg and around the world, thank you for your giving. Our help fund in our church is one way that we allow people to bless others. Our help fund in the church is a fund that we have that's overseen by a Love and Share Ministries team that hears needs in our church family and receives calls and needs from people outside of the church family who are asking for assistance. And you probably know churches get a lot of calls almost every week. Sometimes one or two or three or four. Sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes not as many. But we get a lot of requests from people for help outside of the church. We realize that the issues are complex and it's not always easy to know how to help and who to help and when to help and how much to help and whether to help again. And all those things are a part of making good discerning decisions about helping people. But we know that God calls us to be a helping, compassionate people. And so we have a help fund in our church. It's administered by our Love and Share Ministries team. Right now we have a help fund team. It's made up of three people. Those three people were approved by Love and Share Ministries, and they confidentially handle requests that come to the church. If I receive a request on the phone, almost always I call and I give that to the person who is responsible to oversee our help fund. In this case, it's Joanne Sowers, who is our current leader of our help fund team. And I call with the information to Joanne, and then she takes that to a team of two other people, and they pray about that. They ask questions. They sometimes talk to the people or interview or find out what the need is, and they do their best to make godly decisions about whether to help and how to help and how much to help. And over the last many years, that help team has been such a blessing to our church because a lot of people have had needs that are met. I'm kind of doing a little bit of an estimate here this morning. I didn't prepare an insert with the exact number, but since we last received an offering to replenish our help fund, I just looked over the financial records. It's just a little under $10,000 has gone out through our help fund since we received our offering to replenish that. Almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we received a special offering in order to kind of fund our help fund and provide, since the money for that does not come directly out of our budget, we don't budget for those extra things, but we want to be compassionate to people. And so we set up this help fund. And since we received our last offering, about $9,600 have been paid out to people who have expressed needs or been expressed on their behalf. And the help fund and Love Ministries team has felt like it was appropriate to help them. About half of that has gone to the church family, people within our church, and about half from people on the outside. Obviously, there's a lot of needs in both. There's so many different things that people request. Most of them fall into the category on the screen. Food and medicine and rent and utilities. Of course, the utilities and rent are big ticket items, and so we're not as able to say yes as much and not able to help everyone who requests. And it's not appropriate to, obviously, as the help team has to weigh those requests. Helping people with some handicapped issues, building a couple of ramps and some other things like that. There's just been a variety of things. That's just a few items. But just want you to know that the money that you give to help fund, when you give it to that and you mark it on your offering or it comes in a special, it's put in a fund and we keep it separate so that make sure that only money that comes into that goes out for help fund items. And then continuing to give to our help fund team the responsibility to make those decisions. I'm grateful for them as well. And so today we just want to update you on that and also receive an offering for our help fund. We're down to about 1,500. We raised, I don't remember what it was, a year and a half ago. And we've spent about $9,600 since then, and so we're down to about $1,500. We're kind of getting to the place where we're going into winter time, and we know that we're going to get a lot of calls. And so we want to bring that to our church's attention, and the Lord gives you the opportunity to give to help fund, and you want to do that. You're going to receive an offering today. Ushers are going to come, and would you come and plan to see that? And Jen's going to lead us in a song. But whether you give today or next week or throughout the year, some people give throughout the year, or they put it on in their special offering, or they add it to their envelope if they fill that out. However you give to the help fund, we just want you to know that it's important, it's appreciated, and it is used to bless people, and so give you an opportunity today to do that. So let's pray, and then our ushers will receive this offering and Jen lead us as we sing together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the call to be compassionate. Thank you for the blessings. And Lord God, more than anything else, we know that you're looking at our hearts. You want our hearts to be right with you. And if our hearts are right, then our possessions are right and the gifts are right. And as we're teachable and humble before you, help us to see people like you do. Help us to see them with love and compassion and patience And Lord God, reach out to care for others, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.